there. Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we are talking about Starship Commander Arcade, which was Kevin's must play for 2021. It was released back in September of 2020, developed and published by Human Interact, and available on PC and also on VR. A little summary of the game is it's an arcade experience, the arcade experience finally comes home. Starship Commander Arcade is a cinematic choose-your-own-adventure narrative inspired by classic PC adventure games like Day of the Tentacle and Telltale's Walking Dead series. Go faster than light on an adventure through space as you infiltrate an alien spy facility on a top-secret mission. For those listening, we always have... we always introduce ourselves. We have quite a few more people than we've had the past couple of weeks chatting. But we're going to go around and introduce ourselves and also answer a little intro question that always has to do with the game that we're discussing. This week, since Starship Commander Arcade is meant to be a VR experience, what was your first VR experience? Is the intro question for this week, starting at the top.
Hello, this is Franco. PC or PS4? Never tried anything VR. So I don't know. Maybe I don't even know if in our arcade I did anything that was like VR-ish. That's an interesting question. I don't think I have.
You know, a step down from that. Did you ever do any like the moving like the 4D theaters?
Yeah. Like a baby
step to VR.
Like IMAX and stuff like that, or?
No, like the ones that where the seats move. And
oh,
like...
yeah, like at Disney? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. You know what? Which one was it? Was it Back to the Future at Universal? Way back when. Way back when.
Yeah.
I think that was the first major ride that did that, I think.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ride that ride, but I've never been to Universal.
As soon as the ride started, my mother started screaming the entire
Oh, gosh.
And the people in the car next to us, I looked over and they were just cracking up laughing.
Of course.
No.
It was very, you know what? It was very interesting because I think I did it more than once. And I think like the second or third time, I can't remember how many times, but I actually like broke and craned my neck to look around. Oh. And it's actually a huge like IMAX theater.
Yeah.
And you see all these pods like sitting up in like an arena, you know, all around you. And it's like, wow, this is fascinating.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Next.
That's me.
That's you, Jonathan.
It's Jonathan. I'm trying to think. Because I think I'm going to say I think it's probably the closest thing to like a VR kind of thing. When I was a kid, I had a friend who like, you know, for a few years, like on his birthday, he would ask me like to spend the night. But it was always weird. Cause like he was only allowed to have like one friend over. Mm-hmm. And he was homeschooled and everything. And it's just, you know, so it's like, but so
you made the cut.
Yeah. I made the cut. It was just me and him, but on his birthday, his dad would take us to Dave and Buster's, and that was a big deal for me because I've never been to Dave and Buster's. It was an even bigger deal for, you know, his son, my friend, because, you know, they didn't allow like video games or like TV in the house, so it's like,
yeah,
it's aww. Like, so it's like, so for your birthday, we're gonna like, we're just gonna throw it all at you, you know.
Oh my gosh!
I remember there was one special like event thing at Dave and Buster's one time we went, where it's like they would announce it like when they're playing the game on the intercom, and it's like then you'd have to rush to get in line. So it was like the last thing we did, it basically there was like individual little capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get in and they close the door and you'd be in a chair with like a bunch of joysticks and everything. And basically it was basically like Titanfall. You were operating a mech suit and then you were fighting.
Hmm.
Yes.
And like the little capsule would shake and do everything. I have no idea what it was called, but I just remember like it'd be like so like weird and crazy because there's so many inputs and so many like it was like and I think the coolest thing about it was that after you finished the game or everything, the software or the computer or whatever, it would print out like a sheet of paper where it basically just like made up like a battle report of the game you just played. Cause like they would ask what name you'd want, like, and the operator would like type in your name and everything. And so it basically would just record your like kills and deaths,
mm-hmm.
but then like frame it into like a story. and like, you know, of course it's like, it was an exhilarating experience. Like you don't remember exactly what you did. So yeah. When it was like, Jonathan dodged out of the way and you know, killed Commander 92 or whatever, you know, it was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I did do that. Yeah. I was like, you know, so I think that might have been, I mean, not, it's not, wasn't VR in the typical sense,
mm-hmm.
but I think it counts.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Next.
This is Madeline. So I'm pretty sure that I rode like, I don't know, it wasn't really VR, but it was like a 3D theater experience. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of those at Disney when I was younger, but probably my favorite like 3D theater thing growing up was there was like an Escape from Dino Island one at Six Flags, I think. Mm-hmm. And each of your chairs like picked up and rocked around, and it was like you were in this Jurassic Park Jeep, basically non-branded but close enough, and you're trying to drive over all of this jungle to get out of this dinosaur park and escape from the dinosaurs, and it was the best thing ever.
Aww.
That was unfortunately the line was too long, we could only do it one time. But that's probably my favorite growing up.
Awesome. Yeah. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin. The first VR experience I can remember, cause it's like entirely possible that I had done something at like an arcade or some sort of like mm-hmm. park or something. But the one I can remember was, it was some like penguin going down a hill game at a global game jam. It'd be after I graduated college.
Yeah.
Maybe 2016, 2017, one of those years.
Okay.
And it was like just like a really simple thing, like sliding down like a mountain or like skiing down a mountain. But I didn't really get to do like anything like super cool with VR until like I got a this is mentioned in or this is also in the documentary of Samsung Galaxy Gear. So like when I still had like the S3, like my old Samsung S3.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I went and played. So like I had some sort of like can't even remember what it's like, some sort of ball game where it had like the sort of art style of Beat Saber, like that glowy dark type of environment. But and then I also played the Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Nice cool. So next.
Yes, Chris, so from what I can remember, it was with Google Cardboard, which I don't know if anyone remembers that, but that's like when Google was making the push to make the VR viewers like available to everyone, and it was literally a cardboard little handheld headset thing that you put your phone in that looked like a viewfinder. Or view, was it ViewMaster?
Yeah.
Something similar. So.
But the funny thing is that so my kit came in and the weather was perfect and it was fine. And I sat down in the living room and I was taking everything apart and like laying it out and putting it together on the dining room, on the coffee table. And my father had just left to go somewhere to do whatever he was doing. All of a sudden, the sky just went completely black.
Oh no.
And the wind picked up and my dog freaked out, went into the other room or went somewhere that I didn't see. So like I put the thing together and I'm like, I'm trying it out. And then I'm like, where did he go? So I'm walking all over the house on the first floor, trying to find him, couldn't find him. Walked up to the second floor, couldn't find him. Walked up to our third floor bedroom attic thing, wasn't there. Walked all the way downstairs, walked around again, couldn't find him. Walked up to the second floor, couldn't find him. Walked up again, couldn't find him.
He was inside the viewfinder.
So I'm walking again around on the first floor, and I'm in one of the rooms, and I'm hearing panting. I'm like, where is this coming from? So I move a curtain away from one of the closets, and there he is. He had climbed into one of the cubby holes and was just sitting there from the storm. Like you couldn't hear noise since while I was walking around trying to find you, calling your name.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh, that'd be too easy.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So it's like I used the headset for a little bit and it was like, all right, well, this is kind of cool and my phone's a little slightly underpowered for this, so I never picked it up again. And then I ended up getting the PSVR and the Valve Index and everything's so much better than that. So.
Oh my gosh. Did you pay for the Google thing that you never picked up again?
Oh, so, yeah, but I think it was more to like cover shipping than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. They're like really
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. At my job, because like we worked on making a lot of educational VR videos and stuff. And like we actually invested in just making our own branded Google Cardboard, basically, where it's just cardboard that can be folded together. Like,
yeah, the only real cost associated with it really is the lenses that you have to get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, is literally just cardboard.
Yeah.
But like honestly, now with like now that phones are like so much like high def, you know, it's really good if you just want to like look at like, you know, for me as like the editor for the like VR videos, like that's how I was able to test everything because I could throw it up on YouTube and just. But yeah, as far as like games or actually doing anything with it, it's, you know.
Yeah. My name is Steph. You know, I feel like that I had experience with a VR headset prior to like a few years ago, but like the first, I guess, experience would probably be the one that, yeah, gosh, I feel like there was one, but I've just either forgotten about it or I can't place like where or when or anything about it. But so I guess maybe it was like with an actual VR headset was probably 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when I was over at a friend's house in Washington, and he had a VR headset. And so I played, I don't know what the game was called, but it was like a space. It was a lot like, and maybe it was, but it was a lot like one of the other games that we played. Wow, my memory is just shot tonight. What the heck? But anyways, you were like floating around in like a space station. And so like you could like pick up objects that were floating. It was very disorienting. It was like an hour. Like, you know, I think I played it for like 45 minutes. And after, you know, and that was kind of like, you know, they were like, well, if you haven't experienced, you don't have that much experience with VR, then limit your time. So I think it was like a half hour, 40 minutes. And I got off and I was like dizzy. But before that, of course, like how everyone else talked about, like I, you know, used to go into something similar to, I think, what you were doing, Jonathan. It was like, there was like these little, like me and my parents would go to the beach every year. And like when I was growing up, and they would have a little, like, you know, this was back in like the, I don't know, late 90s, probably. They would have these like, or early 2000s, have these little like, almost like metal boxes that you would go into and sit down, and like it would like rise up and like move. And it was always this little thing that you could, you know, this adventure of sorts. And then like the beach we always went to, which was in, which was Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, all had the one of those Ripley's Believe It or Not museums, which
kind of
branched off into they also started having like these 4D theaters, like usually beside their museums, or their experience, or whatever you call them. And so, you know, we would always do those every time we go to the beach as well.
And they had like roller coaster things or something like that. Yeah.
Roller coasters, some kind of like minecart adventure, was pretty much like the standard fare. Like there was, or like a dinosaur chase, you know, where you were in a car, and like it's a Jurassic Park experience. So
yeah. Going to a pod, and it's a paint mixer basically with a screen on it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I did a couple of those, but the only ones I've ever done is when they're like in a air and space museum or
IMAX thing.
Like museum.
Yeah.
And so like I remember the one I probably did the most is because anyone's ever familiar with the USS Yorktown in Charleston, it's like it's an aircraft carrier you can visit and like spend the night in and everything. Yeah. They had one of those back when I went in the early 2000s, like on the main deck, you know, and I just remember, you know, they only had one like game adventure, and it was always like it was like a Desert Storm battle mission, and it was you just like and it was like oh I'm in Desert Storm, and then you know, as a kid I'd be like, what's Desert Storm? Well, let's not talk about it.
That's not important.
So let's get into talking about our game, Starship Commander Arcade. Again, I don't think any of us did any of us play it in, unfortunately, in a VR experience, or were we all just playing it on our on a PC?
I did in VR.
Okay, cool.
You awesome. Go first.
I guess first let's like, well, I mean, I guess like, you know, it's not that long of a game. It is meant to just be like an arcade experience. So we don't really have to have like, I don't guess like a strict formula of like what we're talking about. What was your experience like, Chris?
I was pretty impressed with how well everything worked. I will say, previous to launching the game, I did do the Windows voice training as well, just to make sure that it did kind of get used to my voice.
Did they suggest that anywhere?
I don't know, but I did it anyway.
They really should.
And the other problem too with Windows 10 is that they bury that like deep within the accessibility. Yeah. So there were maybe two times where it had trouble with what I was saying. Other than that, it worked perfectly fine. And I was even surprised when you were going through that tube and it was it was showing you the door numbers and everything like that. How just reading off the numbers that I was able to pick up actually what I was saying. And then when it had like the alien symbols, just being able to describe what I was seeing and it to understand what exactly I was saying was even more impressive too. But then also when you're shooting at the enemies, all you really did was have to point your head and look at the ship for it to shoot the ships there. Other than that though, I mean, it, the graphics are okay. I mean, they are what you would expect for a VR arcade game.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not going to knock it at all for any of that whatsoever. But the sound design and everything was absolutely amazing. Turning my head, the sound would change. Like, okay. So it's nice. Straight on hearing it in both ears. If I turn my head to the right, I would start only hearing it in my left ear. Turn my head to the left, I'd start only hearing it in my right ear. It was really like great to have that 3D spatial sound there as well. But yeah, I mean, it was the technology and everything that was put into it for VR was just really well done.
Here, I'm glad that you had a really good experience with it. I think seeing that it was created for VR specifically, rather than, I know a few of the games that we played, like they create them as like a regular, you know, like a PC game. And then they're just like, oh, let's make it VR. Like, let's put it in VR too. So I think that there was a lot lost not doing it in VR. I had a ton of problem with, because I'm pretty like 99% sure that with my laptop that I just got a few months ago, that I don't think that I've done the voice recognition on it through Windows. So not doing that, which again, I really think that they should have some kind of, if that's a factor, then they really should have some kind of like warning, you know, like
something
to kind of pop up, because like it kept flipping through, was like it wasn't recognizing my voice hardly at all, to the point where like I was almost like, I don't know if I can continue playing this, because it just kept flipping through her responses, through the sergeant's responses. So like it wasn't hearing anything I said. It was just like, you know, asking about the mission. Well, that's off topic. Let's get back to point. Ask me about the mission. Maybe you should ask me about the mission. And I'm like, I'm sitting here like yelling, like, what is this mission? Like, tell me about it. And then finally they have something that kicks in, I think after a few minutes of being like, okay, let's go. Let's get this party started. Since you're obviously not talking to me.
I'm wondering.
Maybe you should start talking about the mission stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering if they're going off the assumption that because you're on Windows 10, that you already have Cortana enabled and that you've already gone
through. Maybe. I definitely don't have Cortana enabled.
Nope. I know this was made using like the some of like the Windows speech or Microsoft speech recognition stuff, basically like technology that went into Cortana and so.
Really need a warning then. Really need some kind of.
I'm not sure if it uses the stuff native to your system or. This has gone into the documentary about how it uses like actual like internet servers. So it's essentially almost like Google, like the equivalent of pinging Google speech recognition in a way.
Were you using your laptop speakers, or were you using an actual your laptop microphone, or were you using a?
I was using my Yeti.
Okay, yeah. So shouldn't have had a problem picking up your voice or anything.
Yeah, it was right here at my face because I was even getting closer to the mic just in case that was like I was literally like ASMRing it.
Yeah.
I was also using my Yeti. And I was also shouting into it. Tate came and slammed my door because I was being too loud. but I also usually run Crisp on my microphone. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I should have disabled that beforehand. I tried to do the voice recognition thing after I had problems the first time and a half trying to play this game. And I couldn't get my computer to even do the learn my voice deal. So I bet... if I could get it to run, that would have helped.
I think Jonathan did the voice recognition too, right?
Yeah, I kind of, I guess I've kind of landed in the middle because I saw everyone talking about the voice recognition like training thing in the Discord. And so I went and dug it up, which like Chris said, they don't make it easy to find. I did it and I read the things and I was like,
always scan this section.
What is that?
When you read it,
I'm scared.
Always scan this section.
Are we in the Matrix?
I think we're in the Matrix. Does anyone have a voice recognition pulled up? Or
I'm using a different computer, so it's not me.
Trying to pull it up here, but it's like
talking
as soon as you go into the thing.
That's so weird.
I thought my heart skipped.
Talking.
Oh no. Craig's become sentient. Okay.
The Craig's are just back there talking to each other about the show notes.
Oh gosh. bare bones, you mean no bones. Sorry. Okay, I kind of landed in the middle. I did the training, and like it's one of those things where it's like, I guess it worked, and then I went into the game, and like it would pick up like every other thing I said, you know, like some things like the very first like open the hatch, like sometimes that worked like. Instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes she would like, you know, Sergeant Peterson would like hear what I said, but then another time she wouldn't. And it's like, it was funny because like the part where like she asked your age, like I said my age a couple times and it was not registering. And so I was like, I'm 12. And then instantly like, oh, you're 12. I bet you're glad to be at a parent's house. Let's start the mission. And I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
And then another time I tried to say I was like 92. And she was like, yeah, right. And I was like, I feel like 92 is more believable than a 12-year-old.
saying 69 is hilarious.
Oh, I didn't.
She gives you a look. Really? I feel sorry for the people that are actually 69 years old.
But yeah, so like for me it worked half the time. My biggest problem is I guess the way I say accept, the computer does not like when I say the word accept. Because anytime because it comes up a few times because the computer was like,
oh yeah,
accept or decline, and I was like, accept. Except, and like I died three times because it wouldn't like register me say except, and because it's an arcade experience, it's like I had to start the whole thing over. During the firefight, yeah, because you're supposed to follow Sergeant Pearson out of there.
I haven't died in that firefight yet, so.
Well, I died, so you don't have to.
But I need to get the Steam Achievo.
I didn't get an achievement for dying. So it's like, when it worked, I was happy, and like there were a couple times where I was like, oh, I was impressed. Like at one point, I was like, who are the Ekians? You know, thinking like you didn't understand what I said, the word accept, but like it explained to me what the Ekians were. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you first get into the firefight and she's like, what are your orders? And I couldn't think of anything. And I was like, if I just stay silent, she'll give me options. Because in a game, that's what it'll do. If you're supposed to be doing something, it'll give you options. Yeah. Or you'll die and then respawn back to the last spawn point. And so I just sat there trying to shoot aliens, which you can't kill them all. Like, even if you are good at shooting them, which I wasn't, they keep coming at the same exact rate. It's the same exact images over and over again. So I was in there for probably like, it felt like 15 minutes trying to shoot aliens, and she didn't say anything. No offers of help at all.
Yeah.
And so I quit. Because you're commander.
And so I quit and came back to it, and finally she was still nothing, not helping at all. And so I was like, I don't know. What do you think we should do? I need some ideas, you know, just like whatever, mm-hmm. just saying something to try and get her to respond. And finally she's like, okay, follow me. Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah. The few times I tried to say something, I was like, let's get out of here. And
yeah.
And she was like, I forget what she said, but like, she's like, we can't do that. Screw this. Follow me. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. Okay. I don't need the attitude, Sergeant Pearson. and then one time, like my second or my like third, whatever my other full playthrough was, I was just like, let's kill them all. And she was like, we can't do that. And I was like, well, fine.
Yeah. So I almost died in the tunnel, like immediately after that, But for all those like 15 minutes that I was in there getting bombarded by all those alien ships, your health never goes below half. You can't die there. It won't let you get killed out of it.
Yeah. It's
miserable.
Yeah, they don't let you die in the tunnel.
I will say too, in the tunnel, that it is interesting when, at least when you're in the VR, that when the big like laser blast fire whatever things
mm-hmm.
have you like physically move to the left or the right to avoid the blasts, which is kind of an interesting mechanic.
I had no idea how to do that with a mouse at first, and I was it's like you have to right click or left click. I learned that, and then
I didn't completely read the thing. I just saw left and got right.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Because they did prompt you.
Oh, yeah. Same. Okay, yeah. Same. I didn't read either. Because I was like, because I've played VR games, even though I was playing on my laptop. Like, I was like, how is it going to detect my leaning? And then I was like, oh, wait, it's not. I will say I loved. There's one part in that tunnel where it's like after they like teach you to dodge the lasers, they're like, ram that one next to you. And I was like, that's cool. And then they never did it again.
They never did it again.
I know.
I thought that was so cool. Like, I was so ready. I'm like, yeah, let's add in all these. Then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If, Yeah, that part, I found the tunnel part probably the most fun. I had so much trouble, but again, it's because I was on PC and not VR, I think, was with the before the tunnel, when you're fighting all of the different, you know, all of the different ships and stuff that are flying over you and kind of like clustering in front of you and then flying back, just kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was after the tunnel. I don't remember. But I was having the hardest time because, like, if you're playing on the PC, you have to, like, you just put your mouse over it. You don't have to click anything. But you had to follow them with your mouse, which was extremely difficult for me, apparently.
Yeah.
It probably would have been a lot easier if, like, I could just, let me rephrase that. It's not really like you're following with your mouse, but your mouse controls, like, where you're looking. So you have to, you know, it is still looking at it. But yeah, you have to keep hovering over it, like, you know. And I had a hard time with that. Like, I had a hard time, like, because you stray off of it just a little bit and
you're off.
Right. The target's off. So, yeah, it took me, I was there a long time. I was like, oh no. Hopefully, I was like, but I don't think I feel like they didn't let your health go down below. Yeah, it was staying at half. And yeah. I was like, because I was getting hit a lot. And I kept looking over and I was like, still at half? Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think it's also like a good design choice, because if you're playing this at an arcade and like a 10 to 15 minute experience, dying during that would just kind of suck and having restart.
Sure. I understand it.
And like, kids can also play this, so it's like not all kids are gonna be like super great at fighting the aliens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it helps, you know, going into like knowing it's an arcade game, which, like, granted, it's in the title, Starship Commander Arcade, but I feel like arcade has turned into one of those words where, like, you know, a lot of games just randomly throw in arcade, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. No.
It's like this game is literally made to be played in an arcade setting. And so it's like when you frame it that way, then it's like, oh, you understand the design decisions why this. Because it's like with an arcade game, it's like there's a reason why arcade games are like sometimes scripted or almost always on rails, you know?
Right.
Because it's like, yes, they, you know, like they want you to win. They want you to have a good experience so you'll keep playing it, you know?
Right.
It's like, that's the whole point of an arcade.
I do think that, and I was just about ready to say that actually, because it just kind of popped into my head that, like, I didn't understand. I mean, like you said, like, it has arcade in the title, but I didn't put that with the length of the game. Like, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. like, it's like an arcade experience. Like, you know, and I thought, okay, well, even playing the game, I was like, okay, it feels very arcade. Like, you know, you're shooting a bunch of stuff and, you know, but I was still surprised when it was only like 10, 15 minutes. You know, I think for me, it was like 15 minutes long because I was there fighting things forever. And I was looking at the Steam page, and I mean, it does say if you scroll down, like, it comfort and input, like under, if you scroll down a bit, like on the page, it says 10 to 20 minutes. But I feel like it should be in their summary up to the top, up to the top right on Steam, like that it's a short game instead of going on from like Mass Effect, Tomb Raider, and Saints Row industry veterans. Like, I feel like that it needs to be a little more clear that, like, of the type of game this, you know, of what it is, you know?
The reviews are kind of reflecting that too, where people are like, this is only a 15-minute game. We paid $8 for this. And
Or people say it's like, oh, this is a tech demo.
Yeah.
Well, people also just don't know what tech demos are pretty much anything considered a tech demo.
So I think they could definitely kind of, you know, go, you know, kind of benefit from making it a bit more clear. I think I'm not really sure, you know, I mean, I think anyways, I think if I would have went in knowing what it is, then I would have been more forgiving of it, because honestly, after I was done not understanding everything, well, also I had a bad experience because of just stupid computer issues, but I was actually like just very like, that was it. Okay. Like if I was the reviewer kind, the person to do reviews, which I never put reviews on Steam, I probably would have been like, yeah, I don't like this is, I don't like it. Yeah. It's kind of a waste. But after watching the documentary, but also like, I'm also not a person usually watches like making of documentaries, you know, like, so if you don't watch the documentary, it's hard, which for those listening, if you buy the game, it's a little difficult to get to. There's a documentary that comes with it that's like an hour long. If you ever tried to access like media content through Steam that's not a game, you understand the struggle. And then also the game doesn't have a menu, so you can't access it from the menu in the game, because if you start with the game, it just goes right into the game, which is another thing that's, I think it needs a menu. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
or options.
Right, yeah. Right.
Or if you hit escape, it just pauses the game rather than immediately closes out the game.
Right. But watching the documentary, which again I had to unfortunately skip through a few parts, but it gave me more of a sense of like what this was intended to be. I mean, well, originally it was intended to be a longer game, but then they started kind of like with budgets and stuff like that and kind of reorganized and was like, hey, this can be like just an arcade experience. Like that's what it can be. It can be something to get people excited and into VR and not as like a full length, you know, like movie long game, which is what they were talking about in the beginning.
Yeah. He really wanted it to be like an hour long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Game, and they kept waiting for the funding to come through and everything kept falling through, and rather than them folding the company and throwing the game in the trash, essentially, they decided to port the game to these VR arcades that were popping up to basically make money off of the retirement money that we're pulling from the company
from.
And so, yeah, this is what they got. So,
yeah, because when the game was launching on Steam, I was watching streams for it, and he was talking about how, like, they have footage and like or like things that they filmed and like ideas stuff that they worked on for making it a longer experience, but like there just wasn't time for that. Or like they didn't have when you think about most VR games, they're either like small indie ones like Super Hot or like I don't even know what else.
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber. Or you get like huge big budget ones now, like Half-Life Alyx, the 180 gigabyte monster that is Medal of Honor.
Sin of Sacrifice is technically indie, but I feel like the way they executed was more what you would expect from a AAA.
Like PlayStation, they pushed the Iron Man VR game.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. Oh yes. And then there's also like those sort of like it's VR, but we just kind of stuck VR in it experience, like
Skyrim,
Bethesda, like Bethesda with Fallout and Skyrim.
Yeah, Fallout and Skyrim.
Like those experiences weren't created as VR, as opposed to like Alyx.
Yeah, they're extra.
But yeah, so it's expensive to make VR games.
Sure.
And expensive to make games in general.
Well, and also, I mean, the documentary kind of like touches on this too, but something, you know, because VR is still pretty much in its infancy in the grand scheme of things, was that, you know, people realized it's like, you know, longer experiences in VR really don't work as well. You know, like playing a game like Skyrim in VR for any kind of extended amount of time, it's just like, like it's just, it's not fun. You're just like, I'm gonna just play normal Skyrim, and that's like, and I think that's why like things like Superhot and Beat Saber did so well, because they like, because you could, anyone who's ever played like Beat Saber or Superhot, or if anyone's ever played Moss, which is a beautiful game. If everyone had VR headsets, I would have suggested Moss for game chat. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Moss looks super awesome. Yeah.
And but it's like, while those like tell stories, it's like they're like more shorter experiences. They're like shorter levels. Like Beat Saber, it's one song, and you can stop or you can keep going. You know, Superhot, Superhot, it's a level. And if you die, it's instantly, you get back in to whatever you were playing. And then Moss, it's like each little level is like a little diorama that you're looking at. And so it's like, I think it's like, we're still in that like Wild West phase of VR and people trying to figure out what it is. We talked about Half-Life Alyx, which I haven't played that because I only have PSVR. But like, I feel like Half-Life Alyx is like the first game I've heard people talk about where it's like, oh, this is the first like video game, like traditional video game in VR that we've been expected that like works. You know, and then like you also like, you know, talk about Medal of Honor, which, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot about, but it did not do as well as everyone was hoping it would be, you know. You know, because it's like, so we're still trying to figure out, and also it's like they said in the documentary, like when VR first came out, it was all about like virtual roller coasters, you know, or like a 3D movie or something. And then, but that quickly, you know, that's it. So it's very, I don't know, I find it all very interesting, because it's like we are witnessing, you know, in real time, you know, an industry trying to figure out the next form of entertainment.
And like and the documentary mentions like how VR most for a lot of uses now is more like medical training and stuff like that,
and educational. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah. And like if you think about it, I think he mentioned in like 2015 was when he first started seeing stuff. That's when like Oculus Rift Dev Kit 2 came out, and that was like the big one. Like 2014 was when they started, and like 2015 was when most people started getting it. And that was only 6 years ago. And we moved a good amount, but in VR, like able to actually make things look good. But it's still like a long being super accessible to people.
Even,
you know, like I was talking about earlier with my job, you know, when I first started where I work, we were working on a project called, you know, virtual field trips, which it wasn't for like virtual reality. It was an app for iPad. And then like there was a section where we'd always have a 360 image that like you could scroll around on your iPad mm-hmm. screen.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started, the way we did that was we had a special camera with a fisheye lens and a special tripod that like it basically would just take four pictures in each direction. And then you'd have to like stitch them together, you know, manually.
Yeah. Yeah.
With like Photoshop, or eventually a program came out that helped stitch photos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, fast forward 5 years, and now I'm training a team of, you know, videographers how to use this expensive VR camera that's like the size of, it's like a little bit bigger than than like a softball. It's like a small kickball kind of size. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that records videos, and it's like, it has like 8 cameras built into it that record at once. And like the program itself stitches in real time, and, or even like software, mm-hmm. editing software for VR is still the infancy, so much so that after a year of, you know, everything going on this past year, it's like I only just now was able to like re-establish this program I used, because right now it's only available in Europe, because
because
they're the only program that's like going into editing in VR as far as videos. And so it's like,
yeah,
it's all so fascinating and wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Anything that we haven't touched upon so far?
I saw that there are multiple achievements that you can get in Steam, and I think I got one. So
I got one too. Yeah.
I got two.
Let me see.
I saw in some of their ad campaigns that they were comparing this to like, they said that this was supposed to be something to do with making narrative decisions similar to how you would in Life is Strange or The Walking Dead. So are there multiple endings besides just dying and having to restart the game? Because there are a couple of times when you can say like yes or not yes or no, but accept or reject, because Jonathan had to yell at it about 18 times.
The achievement.
Does that change?
I think there was, in like the larger sense of when they were doing it, but in the arcade with the final product that they got, there wasn't mm-hmm. really any branching.
Gotcha.
Right.
But the documentary did. If you end up like pausing during when they show like some of the branching questions and stuff, mm-hmm. you can ask her some extra, it gives her some extra, or you some extra stuff that you can ask her about in the beginning, like stuff about Earth and Beckett.
Okay.
And the organization that is known as Beast and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
I love this achievement. Mondays mess up because it's a Monday.
You have to play the game on a Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you have to do it on Monday or. But
I'll be guessing. Yeah. So.
You can refuse to shoot the immobilized Eknian.
Yeah, that's what I did. I went for that one, and Sergeant Pearson got mad at me, and I think she's racist against Ekians. I don't know what an Ekian is,
but they're lizard people.
Aliens. I was like, because
I would. You.
Well, it was funny. Yeah, it was like why. Because at one point she says in the like the mission briefing, it's like it's disguised as like a food transport or no, a water facility or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are we sure? keep to the mission.
Oh, yeah,
there's a conspiracy going on, but I refuse to shoot it. And she's like, at first she's like, I appreciate your morals, but it's an enemy, kill it. And then I was like, no. and eventually she literally rolls her eyes, and then she's like, whatever, let's go. And then as you're like blasting off, she's like, it's only gonna run out of air and die on its own. You know,
yeah,
you're letting it suffer. Like, that was just like, whoa, okay.
Oh, did any of you manage to get hung up on in the beginning of the
game?
Get
hung up
on?
Yeah,
you have to basically start cussing out. Her out, and she hangs up on you.
And I don't blame her. You know, I don't blame her.
And then it's quite funny, and I was laughing for a good few minutes, because as she comes back, if you hail her again, because like the computer's like, you have to talk to her because she's vital to your mission.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Are you done?" And you could say no, and she hangs up immediately.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah, see, I'm really sad that like. Maybe sometime I'll have to try it again and try to do something, but I missed out on all of the good stuff, I feel, because of the stupid voice thing not working for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's another achievement is that apparently you get to say do a barrel roll in the tunnel.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Do a barrel roll.
Star Fox, yeah, no. Stephanie.
Well, that's no. I know what a barrel is. That's what the achievement's called. It's do a what? Question mark.
Oh, okay.
That's the achievement's name.
I see.
I know what a barrel roll is. I swear.
It's okay, Steph, that you didn't know what a barrel roll was.
I knew what it was. I'll save anything else about Rain, because anything else I have to say about it is more for closing thoughts. But I
didn't know at first that they filmed their hologram footage at two very different points in time. And so I thought that there was like someone spoofing the sergeant signal, like overriding it, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be about like the aliens have a traitor that's pretending to be the sergeant, and she's asking me my name to get like secret, you know, or not my name, asking me my age to get secret information.
Yeah,
no, it was not that kind of story. They just recorded their images at two different times.
It caught me off guard because I think specifically like the in the opening footage, and then when she asked her age, there's a clip, it switches, and that was the first time. And at first, I remember it was like quick. I was like, "Is that a different actress?"
Yeah.
But then I was like, "Oh, that makes sense. Game development takes a long time."
They filmed like the initial scenes, and then like a few months later. They filmed the other ones.
I think it was more than a few months.
Or like, yeah, like a few months, or like a year or so, because retakes and everything.
Yeah.
Anything else? So I guess we'll get into our final thoughts and scoring for Starship Commander Arcade. We have a list here, starting off with Jonathan.
What?
Wasn't scared. You're first. Welcome.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. I will say my appreciation for it grew a lot more after the fact, because while I was playing with it, I was just mic issues, just realize like my family and the rest of the house probably thinks I'm crazy because I'm just shouting, accept, accept, accept. You know, we're just like, just getting increasingly angrier and angrier. But similar to what Steph was saying, is like, it didn't click in my head that it was, you know, arcade as in like arcade game experience kind of thing. So when it was just like, oh, we're done now.
Yeah.
Like it caught me off guard at first, but then like later thinking about it and like thinking about like the times it did work, you know, that I was just like, oh, I think like, I didn't mention it, but the first time, it really like caught what I said. I was impressed when she asked like, what's the facility looks like. And I was just like, I don't know. It looks kind of boring and gray. And she's like, well, you're for the science division. I bet you see everything spectacular or whatever. You know, it's like, I bet it is kind of boring to you. I was like, oh, okay. Of course, I tried saying different things, and that's the only thing she said. But but it would still impress me. And so when it worked, I was like, oh. And I wish I did. I could have played it in VR. Because the shooting with the mouse is not as good.
It was rough.
But yeah, so it's like it very intriguing. And then the documentary, you know, putting people with the program, you know, that's with the game and the software and the development, and you know, it gives it a much more real, you know, appreciative thing, you know, which you always get that when you see, you know, people make things. I guess I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay. Great. Chris.
All right. Yeah, so I feel like my thoughts may be more slightly skewed than everyone else's because I've had kind of the better luck out of everyone else and had the like full experience with the whole
thing.
I was, you know, fairly impressed from the very beginning with what they've accomplished, just from the visuals to the spatial sound, to the just mechanics of, you know, moving my head and looking at the ships for it to shoot, and then moving my actual like head/body left or right to avoid the lasers there. But again, you know, it is a like arcade experience and leaves you wanting a lot more. But I think if this was played at an arcade, it would be a satisfying 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Playing it at home, you know, it kind of leaves you wanting a little more. Just sitting in your chair and like really, because once you hit the end, it's like, all right, I'm really starting to get into it. And then it's like, oh, well, I guess that's it. Well, yeah. I can replay it again and try and see if there's slightly different outcomes and probably try and get the, try and go for all the achievements and everything like that. The index, I think, helped a lot with the overall graphic quality. I will say that the speech recognition and everything kind of gets me excited to see what Numinous Games, the developers of that Dragon Cancer, to see what they are going to be able to do with Area Man Lives, which is another VR game that is going to be coming out that relies quite heavily on voice commands. As you work at a radio station while broadcasting live on the radio. So getting a little taste of this and then seeing what they're doing with a full narrative game, especially with getting the backing of Cyan, who you may remember as from creators of Myst. Just to see what the next step of this type of mechanic is going to be, kind of really gets me excited to see where VR is headed.
Sure.
So with that all being said, I would give this a 9, but I think the length hurts it a little bit, so I'd have to give it an 8.5.
All right, Kevin?
I liked the experience. My scoring is going to be a little bit skewed as well, simply because I know the developers. Fun experience. Like Chris said, it leaves you wanting more. So, like, if you were to play it in an arcade, end up giving a much. I appreciate that. Even though it kind of takes away a little bit from the experience, that there is the 2D mode exists so that more people can actually experience the game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if at some point you do end up getting a VR headset, then the option to play it in VR is there. I enjoyed the documentary. It gives a lot more context and ideas to what could have been if, like, this game were to ever be extended or get a sequel or something.
Mm-hmm.
I give it an 8.
Cool. I start ready to say Stephanie. That's me. It's very interesting because, as I said before, like, it wasn't the best experience to me for several reasons. Because the voice recognition didn't work for me with my computer or with my mic. I don't know where the problem was. And also, I was playing on PC only, and so if I would have been scoring it right afterwards, it would not have been a very favorable score. But I think just hearing, like, Chris's experience with it, and especially, like, after watching, you know, the documentary, and just kind of seeing, I guess, where it came from and what they were, you know, trying, and what it was intended for, you know, because, again, I exited out of it with, like, it was just 10 minutes, like, okay, like, and also it was a little bit of a frustrating experience because of the problems. But understanding that they transformed it to where, you know, they were meaning to do something bigger, but because of certain things, they scaled it down and became excited about presenting it more as an arcade experience. And it's like to get people into or excited about VR, that helped me kind of understand it better and appreciate it in a different light. So I would say, whereas, like, if I was scoring it before this chat or before seeing the doc, that I probably would have given it like like a 4 or something like that. Like, I'm going to bring it up to, I think, a 7.5. Yeah, because the issues that I was having wasn't entirely, although I do think that they definitely need some kind of like a menu for the game, and then also, or like something, and also like something that will pop up being like to make sure that your voice recognition is working on your PC, or you know what you're running it on, because yeah, not everyone uses it, so not everyone has it set up. But 7.5 it is. All right, Frank.
All right. Pretty much the same experience. I mean, as everyone has expressed, didn't have much issues with the voice recognition, but my problem maybe would have, I didn't know what to say, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't, I didn't get too creative with engaging that person in conversation. And I kept forgetting to address the computer as computer. Be like, why aren't you engaging the enemy? Oh, sorry, you didn't say computer engaged the enemy.
Simon didn't say.
Yes, Simon says with the computer. God damn you.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Why aren't you listening to me? Yeah, so, I mean, arcade was okay. I think the firing mechanic, at least for me, was a little... I mean, you had to kind of get a lock on, and the things were very jittery. So getting a lock on, like Steph said, was very tough. I think it would have been better served, maybe, I don't know, just a wild observation that, you know, a continuous fire laser, you know, that just overheated would have been a little bit, for at least for this length of game, you know, because it was like barely getting used to it. And then bingo. Oh, well, that's it for the game. Thank you for playing, you know. So yeah, it was interesting. It just definitely too short. Definitely, you know, just as I felt like I said, okay, this is starting to get the hang of this, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. So I have to agree. I get to give it about a 7.
All right, thank you, and Madeline.
I think I would also give this a 7. Just echo a lot of what people have already said. I think some kind of in-game menu, or at least the ability to say menu or options and have something pull up, computer options, whatever, would have been helpful. And I think maybe having a screen, even if it's right when the game first launches, to say, if you have not already calibrated your voice stuff,
yeah,
on your computer, please hit mm-hmm. escape and do so now, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like in the load up screen, just to be there for 3 or 4 seconds. I think mm-hmm. that would have been fairly uninvasive and would help people playing the game that maybe haven't read all of the back matter about it mm-hmm. as well. I think it was, for what it is, it's cute, but it's I don't know if I had a kind of limited experience, I feel like. So I don't know if it's really something super exciting to write home about. So yeah, a 7.
All right, cool. Thank y'all for chatting about that game with me. So that was really weird. It was a weird way of saying that. Anyways, so next week, if you look on our thegamechat.net, which is where all of our recordings are and our schedule for what we're talking about this year, if you look on that schedule, we have the next week we're starting Call of the Sea, which I'm really excited about.
It's been updated.
Oh, thank you.
Look at you.
Not even, I will just continue to say that it did say that we were playing Call of the Sea for 3 weeks, but Stephanie started playing it this past week for a stopping point and realized it's only like a 6-hour game. So, which is only like 2 weeks for us because we play like 3 hours a week. I'm going to be absent from the chat next week. So we decided to push Starting Call of the Sea to the 27th of April. But next week, everyone else is going to be still having a chat and still talking about, like, are you having a chat? Are you chatting about this next week or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. So next week there will be, our next chat will be about The Longing. I actually have all the info pulled up here, Madeline. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, it's all here. But The Longing was released back in 2019. It was published by Application Systems Heidelberg and developed by Studio Surfs. And yeah, so Studio Surfs. Available on Windows, Mac, Linux, and Mac OS. And a little summary of the game is The Longing is an indie point-and-click adventure idle video game released on March the 5th, 2020 by Studio Sufs. The game follows a creature called a Shade who waits 400 days to awaken a sleeping king. During this wait, the Shade must find ways to pass the time. So it's a very interesting game that there's chatting about next week. We'll play it for a few hours and then talk about it in our next chat. And then, and I will probably do so as well, just so I can chat about it with them again in 400 days, woo-hoo, which is, what was the estimation? Like June or July of 2022?
June something of 2022.
June something of 2022 is when we should be talking about this game for the second time after our 400 days in the game space. not a vacation spot. That's super exciting. And and then like after, so then again on the 27th, this one will start our chats on Call of the Sea. And then I think after that is Kentucky Route Zero, which super excited about. Anyway, so if y'all want more game chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us over on Twitter at @the_game_chat or follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game we might just read on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. Or email us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're chatting about The Longing. So until then, thanks for listening. I'll chat you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.